Hello, Paul. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Hi. Is it frosty up in the White
Not
Mountains?
yet, a little chilly at night, but as far as I know, we haven't gotten any frost here in Tilton yet.
Larry Dickin, who's on the line with us here, tells me he's seen this video. He says it's pretty spectacular.
Yeah, it is actually.
Why don't you describe it to our listeners a little bit? What they'll see.
What happened was on two separate occasions, I saw something through the backyard in the valley, behind my house. And the first day, it was just a really bright, pulsating object that stroke, but it was extremely low. And I managed to get it flying through the trees. I then got my car and I drove down the road. Didn't see it, so still out there, I figured I'd give it up. About 2 weeks or so later, I saw the same thing at the same exact spot. And instead of chasing it that time, I stayed at home and waited. And about 10 minutes later, it came up above the tree line and flew directly behind our house. And as the video shows, it appears to be a disc. The lights on it can definitely make out three lights in a row, the middle light being the largest. And they change colors so rapidly that you actually have to go through 30 frames a second to see the color changes that this thing makes. It goes from orange to green to
Was it
red.
making any noise at that time? And you just had a feeling it would be there? Was that the deal?
No, I saw it traveling in that direction, but as I said, the first time, oh, and I didn't think it would come up that way. And it seemed to be traveling more south than towards me. My building faces south. And I just watched this thing go back to the trees, and I thought maybe it'll come up above the tree line. And it was almost as if it was listening to me. It just did. It slowly rose right above the tree line, and then it crossed right over the cemetery, which is at the end of basically that set of apartments that sit here. There's a couple of condos down to the left of our building, and it flew directly over the cemetery. You can see there's a tree that sits for the cemetery, a big tall pine tree, and it went behind that pine tree right at the tip, popped out pretty quick, and it just moved slowly right from there till it got to about where the condos were, and was still so low that usually if something flies that direction, a plane or whatnot, because there are airports around here, you would see it go directly up into the sky and keep going. This thing stayed really low and flew over the house. Never came
Anyone
up.
else tell you they saw him?
As far as I know, no. It wasn't reported.
And this is not the first time you've seen something like this.
I have quite a few sightings in my lifetime.
You haven't seen one of these things land or anything. They just kind of hover
No,
around,
yeah.
right?
Actually, I've gotten pretty close to them, but never as far as a landing or contacting. On several occasions, they came within, I'd say, 300 or 400 yards of us, literally so close that if I looked at the person next to me, they would be colored in the lights. For instance, one setting we had, there were red lights, and they got so close to us that we were basically bathed in red lights. And the person working at that time got extremely scared and asked that people leave.
How about you? Did you have fear or just more
More
curiosity?
elated. Because at this time it was more of a confirmation, incredible sight.
In other words, you'd seen them before, and this now you had a witness there that saw that you saw.
Exactly. And the witness that was with me was a meteorologist who worked for a local news channel, so he was pretty high up, and people wouldn't think he was crazy. And also the fact that he's a meteorologist, so you can rule out anything like ball lightning or whatnot. If it was a very clear night.
Was he a skeptic before this?
He claimed not to be, but I think he was more or less just kind of...
Neutral.
As I said, he was a meteorologist and said there was a meteor shower that night, so I took him to one of my sky watching spots, which was at this time in Pittsfield, up on top of a mountain. He could literally see for about 30 miles in all directions. And, basically, what started out as one red light wound up being 10 red lights. And they basically surrounded us. They were covering the sky and totally silent again. Actually, what happened was there was, like, at one point, 1 minute separated to two, then there were three, then there were five, then there were eight, and these craft just kept separating, and so he got so freaked out that we had to leave.
You just said, let's get the heck out of here.
That was basically it. I was like, this is it, you know, here's our chance. You want to go aboard a UFO? And he was pretty nervous. And I really have never seen anybody get that scared from something like that.
Perhaps he had another experience himself that he didn't recall.
And I think he was also very interested in the abduction phenomena. At that point, I really wasn't. I was more of a skeptic as far as abduction went. But yeah, he was very nervous that night. And as I said, I was elated, so it was hard for me to understand why he was so scared.
Is this the same area you see, or you've had most of your sightings?
No. And now, lately, it's been in Tilton. The sightings that have happened throughout my life, and have happened at different places for the most part. And just recently, it's sort of happening, like regular rhythm, right outside of my backyard.
By recently, in the last couple of months, you mean?
Yeah, basically the last 6 days.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, we were talking before we got you on the phone about Betty Hill passing away, and she's from New Hampshire as well. I believe her first sighting was up in that part of the country where you are.
Actually, was right on the highway that if you want to come to my house, you have to drive up the highway and get off one of the exits.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's actually, I've tried to find out whereabouts this happened. As far as, estimation, I believe it was in between Conway and Tilton. And the only other place I could be was south of here. But more than likely, it was north because it's very remote up here.
Have you had any experiences right in that area?
Most of my sightings have happened either in Tilton or in the southern part, over by the coast. And then my first sighting was in Chicago. So other than that, I haven't really spent a lot of time up north. But
I started to say you're missing that Yankee accent. I was going to compliment you on the pronouncing your words like a Midwesterner. Now I know why.
It's hard to not saying car. It takes a lot. Every once in a while I slip, but you'll figure out I'm a Chicagoan.
Yeah, you know, there's lots of sightings in Chicago, too.
First sighting I had was a mass sighting that happened in Chicago, and that's really what sparked my interest in the phenomenon.
What was that sighting like? Just, was it an urban sighting? Were you in town?
Yeah. Pretty phenomenal, because my mother told stories of a sighting that had happened to her and her grandmother in the town that we lived in. And she often talked about it. And one night I was going to pick her up at work. I was in the shop, so I went to pick her up, and I noticed what looked like three stars sitting up in the sky, basically to the west, or a little bit north of Chicago. And from what I could notice, it looked like they were just sitting over Lake Michigan. And I, about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, so I thought it was odd for stars to be out so early. And I had a spotting scope with me. I had a friend who was in construction. So I had this spotting scope, and I started looking at them, and they were unlike anything I'd ever seen. They were basically strobe colors, green, yellow, red, blue, white, green, yellow, and they were also in a perfect triangle, and all three were exactly the same size and shape and emitting the same colors. When I went to get my mom, I said, you have to see this, and on the way back, she said, oh my God, and I said, you see that? She's like, that's what we saw. So it turned out that this was the same phenomenon that had happened to her almost 30 years earlier, which was also witnessed by a whole bunch of people in the town of Mundelein.
You know, Larry, you and I were talking about that. This seems to run in families.
Yeah, not only abduction experiences, but just the fact that people have close encounter or plentiful sightings throughout their lives. Whether or not there's really an abduction that it occurs with these sightings is open to question, but it certainly does seem to run in families.
Actually, there are very odd similarities in what has happened as far as health-wise and missing time and stuff like that. But my mother, my sister, my brother, you know, they all try to deny it, but if you really want to look at the evidence, it all points to one time. My whole family probably was abducted. I don't claim to have ever been outboard a UFO or seen an alien or anything like that, even as far as having any, you know, dreams about being on a spaceship.
You don't have any memories at all?
Not at all. I do have memories of missing time. And I do have one memory where I was in a place that wasn't home. I was very young. And I was very scared. And that always has been one of the memories that I could never forget, if you know what I mean. And again, led me more into the researching some of the abduction stuff. Because as I said, at first I was quite skeptic. But
now, when you moved up to New Hampshire there, had you heard about the Betty Hill things happening?
We had heard about it before.
Yeah.
And actually, when I was a small child, I saw the movie when it came on for the first time.
Have you ever read those books by John Fuller?
I haven't read them, no.
Yeah.
I have done a lot of research as far as on the websites and stuff, read sections of the books.
Mm-hmm.
I studied a little bit about the Exeter incident, just basically because it was here in New Hampshire, and I found out about those things from people here. But Chicago stuff seems to be all tied in. I think as I grew up and moved out here, it was just a stepping stone from being in an area that was already had that phenomenon to being in an area that has multiple phenomena. There's a lot of hauntings in here, too. And it seems that my mother...
Now, you mentioned health issues in your family. You think there's something connected there?
Yes, because basically it's stuff like fibromyalgia, bad backs, everybody in my family has a bad back, sinus problems. All stuff that if you read a book about abduction by a doctor, there's usually a checklist you can go through. And if you check out these, a lot of them favor, you know...
Did anybody in your family have any memories of a contact or anything?
No. No, my mother does have a memory of an implant, though. It's something that was taken out of her arm by a doctor, and they couldn't figure out what it was. And she didn't recall that. So probably a couple of years ago, when I started really asking her a lot more questions about, you know, what had happened with the haunting, basically, in the house I grew up with, because I tied that into probably abduction. My father said he saw a ghost, and I think he saw.
Yeah, many times when people report hauntings or ghosts or poltergeists in houses, their own house or somebody else's, is in fact they may well be having, experiences with ETs and abductions.
Yeah, I think for some reason they cover it up and try to make it look like a haunting.
Right.
More of it's easier to take, oh, there was a haunting, it's just a ghost. And if you did some research into the house that they lived in, you'd find that there was a violent death there, so, you know, it kind of fit into that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you really take a closer look at what happened, for instance, when I woke up the night and I wasn't at my house, I remember just being able to see my neighbor's house because I had a window in my room. I could see my neighbor's house. But the house was very far away. Mm. It wasn't right next door. I could see the whole house, whereas if I sat in my bed and looked at this house, it would be, you know, just the window and the back end of the house. And I basically started going around the room trying to find that door, and I never did find a door. And after about 2 hours of searching for the door, my brother or my bed, I eventually laid down and fell asleep in the corner. And when I woke up the next day in my room on the floor. And that was really the only incident that I had ever had that didn't come back to me until recently. But my mother remembers it from the death. I woke up in hysterics. I said, like, they're worried. Said, throughout the night, I was screaming for them. And she said, you must have had a nightmare. And I knew then that it wasn't a nightmare, and I know now till this day that it wasn't a nightmare. I don't remember most of my dreams. So I remember this.
But the activity has picked up where you live now, at least sightings.
Yeah.
Do you get any feeling or a message or something subconsciously when you see these things, or just a wonderment and elation?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes it is as if they're watching. There's definitely a connection, more or less, because I think when I go outside and I start sky watching, I ask them to come, and sometimes they do.
You know, we've heard that before.
Yes, we certainly have.
It's, you know, call, you know, when it happens, I'm just, holy cow, you know. But I do literally sit there and ask, okay, give me something, you know, give me some action. What are you going to show me today? And they seem to pull through quite a bit. It has slowed down a little bit. July, June were the best months. And I think that's probably because of the nice weather. I mean, I tend to spend more time sitting outside and watching them because the weather's nice. So that's probably part of the trend in why the UFO sightings are so, our UFO sightings are so high all over the world. And, you know,
more people out.
Yeah, I'm sure some of them were airplanes, and some of them might have been satellites, but for the most part, all the footage that I've taken is of not blurry objects, structured, single lit, fast moving, slow moving, hovering, changing colors. And, you know, basically speaks for itself.
Right.
I dare anybody at NASA or anybody at any video editing place to try and analyze these videos and tell me that these aren't anything, that, you know, tell me that they're airplanes or falling, because if they do, I just think,
we're talking with Paul Spira, and he has a very interesting video, and we have lots of pictures as well from New Hampshire, right, Larry?
Yes, we do, and we're going to be posting those out on the site. I have a special page set up for Paul. You can go to our guest gallery on our UFO Files page, and there'll be a picture of Paul there. You click on that, go to his page, and you'll see these really incredible pictures. I mean, some of the best that I've seen in terms of the fact, and I know, Paul, you're going to be sending us more in the future, but what I've received to date is I was very impressed with the fact that, as you said, you go frame to frame and you can actually see the changing of the colors in the frames and the change in intensity of the lights from frame.
Paul, what do you think that is? You think that's some sort of power source, or do you think that's...
Actually, I'm almost positive. I know now for a fact that I've always thought this, that these things can be right outside and you won't know it. For instance, the Mexico video.
Right. Right.
Fortunately, one of these governments out here has had it up to here with what we've done. So they're going to start pumping this stuff out, like what it means. And that proves to me that these things have a cloaking device. One of the videos, I believe I sent you, Larry, if you really look at it, it appears to be a very large disc.
Uh-huh.
It's a float. And it has four lights. And if you connect the dots, it's going to make an outline of a very large
right.
disc. When I first took that video and looked at it, I immediately thought either a power transfer or cloaking.
Mm-hmm.
Then later in the year, as this happened, the more sightings I've had, and now I've gotten a lot of EOLs, balls of light, you know, and they just seem to be pulsing. They never mm-hmm. stay at a constant shape or size. They can change their shapes, as, like you've seen in the Anthony Woods videos.
Mm-hmm.
These things are basically, when they take off, they can flatten out. And when they sit in color, they turn into a ball. So it's almost as if, yeah, they have these internal energy sources. And for some reason, the one that flew over my house that night decided to turn it on and let
right.
me see. And it's for about 1 second, this thing changed color and shape almost 30 times. So I guess that's probably the best analysis.
Paul, you sound like an intelligent fellow. What do you do for a living?
I'm a bartender and a musician.
What do you play?
I play guitar.
Great.
Blues player.
Well, you need to send us an audio clip of that, too.
Sure.
it'd be fun to have that as a bumper, if nothing
else.
We
do music.
Yeah. We do everything.
I try.
So, do you ever get a chance to visit with other people in New Hampshire about UFOs? Does the subject ever come up?
Well, it has, but it seems that whenever I get to the point that somebody wants to see my videos of any importance, for some reason they don't want to, because I feel I then must know if they're too good. They either think I'm faking it, or it's set up that I spoke to someone at MUFON and was invited to go to a seminar that was supposed to be held here, and it never happened. So I've searched out people around here, but it's hard to find people that are really willing.
Well, you came to the right folks. We'll let you hang in.
And you know, is there something that we haven't talked about here that you think's important? That you know, we covered a little bit about it, but is obviously, if you think you've been abducted or you've had a contact or something like that, but you really don't have any scars or anything on your body, do you?
Not that I know of. I do have health problems that basically go along with it. But there was one night in particular, other than that, the dream or so-called nightmare. I was driving home from work, and at the time I was working in Manchester. And I lived in Henniker, the only Henniker on Earth. And I left work at about 10:15, and I did this on a Thursday night. This is, I remember it so well because I'd go home and watch Inside the NFL so I could make my bets the next day. And I basically got in my car and took off.
Paul sounds like Jerry Wilhite, one of our columnists. He watches that before he makes his bets as well. Go ahead.
Go with him every time. And I went upstairs and looked at the clock upstairs, and it was 2:00, 2:30. So I woke my sister up, and I asked her what time it was. She said it's 2:30. She's a little ticked off. My other sister, and you know, by now they're going, what's going on? And I don't know where I was for the last 3 hours. But I basically was on the same highway that Betty and Barney Hill had their experience on, 93 or Route 3 going north from Manchester towards the capital, which is Concord. And it's about maybe 15, 20 miles. Anyways, I live in Henniker and have to get on 89 to go to 202. Before that, there's a toll booth, and I had tokens for the toll booth because I had to do this drive. Cheaper to get the tokens, so I had my 3 tokens sitting on the seat. And as I came up to 89, I realized that the 3 tokens were still sitting in the seat. It's just like, what the heck happened? But, you know, I flew off the toll booth. Well, I went around, I got home, I went inside, and I turned on the TV, and there was some movie on. And then I started flipping and looking, and it was a satellite. I'm like, and I hit time, and it said 2:31.
So you missed 3 hours or 4 hours?
At least, about 3.5 hours.
Uh-huh.
So, I was shocked. I thought the satellite was wrong. So I went to the station again and thought maybe I'd missed it. I couldn't find Inside the NFL. I had like 3 HBO channels, and you know, I work in a bar, but I really don't drink.
Now, when you remember going toward the toll booth, and then you were on the other side of where the toll booth would have been, or
no,
what?
I don't remember ever seeing the toll booth. I was just on the highway. There's a stretch of woods. It's very dark as you get near the toll booth, and then after the toll booth. There's only one section there, basically. It's a stop and ride liquor store. It's a date of liquor. So, basically, it's an oasis. And then from Manchester to Concord, pretty much nothing. It's all trees. And it's pretty dark. And,
I mean, you didn't come back to consciousness at the same place in the car as you were driving?
I don't remember. Okay. It was just basically driving. I came to 89 is when I snapped out of it. When I hit my exit, I was like, whoa, how did I get here already? It seemed as like the ride only took 15 minutes. It was almost as if they had picked me up and set me down right from the exit.
Yeah, that's what I was getting
at. That's what it seemed like to me. I didn't really click, you know, at first, because I didn't realize how late it was. It just, you know, maybe I did go to the toll booth when I got home and confirmed the time. That's when I really started researching the infectious phenomenon more. And there was only only one other time that I used to go fishing at this place in Pittsfield. And I parked my car on the side of the road. It was deep woods. I'd go into the woods and I'd fish. And I always had a strange feeling when I was at this pond, like I was being watched. And one day, the time I owned a bakery in this little town, and one of the police officers came up to me and asked me what I was doing at the pond that day. I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I came up to your car and I pounded on your car, and you were passed out." I said, "What? You were passed out? Windows were rolled up. The keys weren't in the ignition. You were just passed out in your car, and I kept banging on it, trying to wake you up, and you wouldn't." Now, I thought he was playing with me. He said, "You know, what, were you drinking or something? Did you need to take a nap?" Honestly, I do not remember this. And he persisted for like 3 weeks trying to figure out why I was passed out in my car, why he couldn't wake me up. And it never clicked. But for some reason, I think at that point, I was having an experience. I still get an uneasy feeling when I go by the place. But I had never had an uneasy feeling about it until I figured out that I really don't have control of it.
Yeah, so you know, as we talk about this, it's apparent to me that you have mixed emotions about it. Well, with that thought, we're going to let you go, Paul. Let's stay in touch. That is, I guess it's the thing, it drives me nuts, Larry, is there ought to be an answer here, and there is not one.
No, we haven't been able to figure out what the alien agenda really is. And there's certainly been a lot of speculation on the subject, and we've had some pretty high-powered people on the show, you know, with a lot of research experience and who've done a lot of work in this area, and they've come to some conclusions, and they think that they might have some idea what's going on, but they'll be first to admit that there's no conclusive evidence. And besides that, is that just because we think in certain ways and we think that somebody has an agenda to do something for some reason, is that we're humanizing it. We have no idea. The ET psychology, and there are probably many different species out there, is there could be subtle differences that would make their reasoning for why they're doing what they're doing and what are they doing in the first place totally something that would be totally alien to us, or maybe even you know, just evil to us possibly. But to them, it's okay.
And then, of course, there's always the mysterious cattle mutilations with the blood missing, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it could be evil, could be good. Unfortunately, none of us know. Paul, thanks a lot for taking the time. I look forward to seeing the videos and the pictures on our website. And as we say, Larry, we're going to give him his own section, right? And we'll have you back. Be careful. Be safe out there. Bye. Interesting fellow, and lots of a lot of thought given to this, Larry.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously an intelligent guy, and a lot of things that he says about what he thinks is really going on with the ETs and the abduction phenomena and the presentation of themselves much more frequently now than in the past. As he said, it's an education process, and yes, I think that that's part of it, is they're accommodating us to their existence and not relying upon the government to do so.